Thank you. You may be seated.
If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians, the first chapter. And isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? Being able to take time to think about God and how good He is to us, and how we can praise Him together. We can magnify His name together. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and have given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we need you. We're so inadequate in and of ourselves to even understand what you have in the scriptures for us this morning. We need you. We pray that you will melt our hearts. Melt our hearts to be at one with your heart. Melt our hearts to be at one with each other. Help us to magnify you. Help us to lift you up as you deserve to be. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We are united today in magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone deserves all the glory and the honor and the praise. And the passage that we have read unites us together in our magnifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27 starts our passage by telling us that we are citizens together. We are citizens together. We have a common goal and a common purpose. We have a one and only care, and that is to let our conversation be worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not worthy, neither are we able. However, with God, we can exalt the Lord. We can please the Lord. We can let our conversation, our citizenship in heaven, we can make it as becometh the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have obligations as citizens. Our citizenship is not only here, but our most important citizenship is in heaven. We are just passing through. We are pilgrims in this land that we dwell in. Our eternal home, our eternal citizenship is in heaven. And because of that, we are identified together. We are drawn close to each other because we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are together. Our greater citizenship, the kingdom of God, the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem. We have obligations because we have been graciously given this citizenship. Our way of living. We are obligated to act as Christians, to act as citizens of heaven. The word becometh means in a worthy manner, both as individuals and as a church. We are answerable to God, because we have been given so much by God. He's the one who has made us citizens. The gospel of Christ is such a high standard. However, we are commanded to let our conversation be as it should be. We are blessed. We are so truly blessed that if we were to die today, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do we get that? Do we think about that? Do we realize what an honor and a privilege it is? The Bible says perhaps we will know, because there were people that are pictured in the Bible as standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus looks at them and says, "Depart from me into everlasting darkness. I knew you not." To be known by God and to know God, what a privilege that is. That draws us together. It's good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Word of God. God can enable us. We need to take inventory. We need to look at our lives and see, are we acting as citizens of heaven? Is our focus only on this world? The book of Colossians says, seek those things which are above, where God is on the throne. Seek the Lord. Remember, you are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven if we have the Lord as our Savior. Also in verse 27, being united in magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ, we are strivers together. We are strivers. He desires that when he hears of their affairs, that it will not break his heart. He will be happy and joyful. Hearing of affairs. We do have a testimony. We as a church strive together. As individuals, we strive to have a good reputation for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the gospel, so that no reproach, no sin, no bad action will cause any detriment to the cause of Christ. We need to know God on a personal basis. And we need to live as we are. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. When we say that we are Christians, when we say that we follow the Bible, does it match our actual lives? That's a hard question. That's a question where you have to get on your knees before God and say, God, I'm so sorry. Help me. And that's the purpose of this message, is to get help from God, to get encouragement from God, because we are together. We are strivers. We strive to please God, and as a result, be a good testimony to those that are around us. Verse 27 tells us that he desires to hear that they stand fast in one spirit, standing fast like a soldier who stands where his post is. And no matter how bad the action may be around him, he is staying where he is supposed to be. Unflinching courage, like a soldier. We have to use courage because we are fearful at times. We need God's courage to do what is right, to love others, to love the unlovable. The list goes on and on where we need courage. God can help us to stand fast. No matter how severely the battle around us may be raging, we are determined in one spirit to stand fast for the Lord Jesus Christ and for each other. Not being moved, but living a life that is pleasing to God. One mind, in verse 27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, God saves us to do something. Not to be a spectator, but to be someone who participates. And we live in a world where you don't have to participate. You don't have to do things. And it seems like that we have a society that desires to reward people for doing absolutely nothing. Diane Tirado was a teacher in Florida. She loved teaching. She expected her students to participate in class. She gave them a project, an Explorer notebook project to do, and told them that they would have 2 weeks in order to turn it in. Several of the students failed to turn it in. In her mind, no work should mean no credit. So she gave a zero. She got in trouble for giving a zero. She checked the handbook, and there it was in red ink. No zeros. The lowest possible grade is 50%. So in other words, you don't do anything and you at least make a 50. She was fired from her job because she gave zeros instead of 50s. God expects for us to participate. He expects for us to love Him and to work for Him. We are strivers. That word striving has the idea of an athletic contest where you have two that are striving against one another. One mind in this opposition of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a team effort. In football, you have a team effort. In basketball, a team effort. In baseball, a team effort. The Bible is so clear that we have to work at being at one with one another. Our unity takes work. We can preserve Christian unity by making an effort to do so. We can spend more time considering appreciating what other Christians are doing rather than trying to find all their sins and their weaknesses. Considering that spiritual safety comes through spiritual unity is important. We need one another. Disunity weakens us, and Satan and his devices are able to creep in. We have to realize in Christian unity that we may not always get our way on things. We may not agree with everything, but we work in unison for the glory of God. We humble ourselves. We can meditate on God's many commands, telling us that we should love one another. We can consider the God of peace. Christ is called the Prince of Peace, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. God is the God of peace. We can renew our minds with the wonderful Word of God. We can meditate on the unique relationship that we have with each other. In the book of Psalms 133, you can turn in your Bibles if you'd like. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, the first verse. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. We have a special relationship with one another. We can also preserve Christian unity by counting the cost of disunity. The disharmony and the if unjoyfulness is word, that it can cause each of us in our individual lives. We can be the first to seek peace and reconciliation with one another. We can work while letting the Word of God judge our actions. We can judge ourselves more than we judge others. We can also pursue humility. Again, this is a message of encouragement that we are in it together. Now, of course, we're in it individually because we alone will face God for our actions. But God loves us, and we have such a special opportunity to love one another, to enjoy one another, to enjoy fellowship. But it does take work. We have to strive together like in a ball game where we desire to win. And we desire to be winners together with God. Now in verse 28 through 30, we are sufferers together. We are sufferers together. Many times, false teachers will give the impression that the Christian life is an easy life that is like a bed of roses, where if you make a decision for God, everybody's going to like you. You have noticed if you've made any decision for God, that's not true. There are enemies around. We have an enemy who desires our destruction. And there are even people who in this world desire for our destruction. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world are in jail. Some have given their lives. Some suffer economically. It's like the woman in South Carolina. Now, this was interesting because I thought it was a unique way to do what she did. She wanted to carjack another woman. So what she did was she started throwing things at her, including a black snake. Now that, I was like, wow, this lady really wanted to get into that car and take it. Well, she threw the snake, and of course, I don't care if you call me a lady or not, I think I'd get out of the way for a snake being thrown at me. Anyway, she's throwing the snake, and she gets into the SUV, and she ends up going recklessly through the area, smashing into barricades. She's going to end up being charged with carjacking, malicious damage to property, and of course, 5 traffic violations. Now, this lady was full of malice. We live in a world that is full of malice because the devil is full of malice. We suffer together, even though all this can happen to us. The Bible tells us not to be terrified. And that word terrified has the idea of intimidation. Haven't you felt intimidated before when you're getting ready to share the gospel? Or perhaps just intimidated by the evilness that's in this world? The Bible says, don't be terrified. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That word terrified was used of horses and other animals who were suddenly startled and scared, and they would run. The Bible in verse 28 says that when someone will persecute you and they have malice toward the gospel, it's an evident token of their destruction. God gives us salvation, and that salvation comes from God, and all that deals with the salvation has been found as a gift of God. But it's also a gift in verse 29 to suffer on the behalf of Christ. And that conflict was going on with Paul. He went to jail. The Bible lists all the things, the shipwrecks, the dangers that he faced as he was traveling. But in all of that, the Bible tells us, do not be intimidated, because you have God on your side. Not only do you have God, but you have the church of the living God. Some of the greatest growth of the church has occurred when persecution has taken place. So remember, we suffer together. Chapter 2, verse 1, we are partakers together. I looked up synonyms for experiencers. That is a word. Double-checked the dictionary. We experience things together. Verse 1 describes these resources that God has given to us. Consolation in Christ. That is the exhortation and the urging to walk in a closer union with Jesus Christ. The comfort of love. That's the encouragement of God's love and the love of other Christians, encouraging you to live your life for God. Fellowship of the Spirit, that's the things having in common, sharing and participating, the support that the Holy Spirit produces in our common bond with Christ. There are bowels and mercies. Those are tender-hearted compassions, compassionate yearnings, and not only a yearning and a compassion for someone, but the actual reaching out as a result of those bowels of mercies. We experience these things because God desires to encourage us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to love one another, and to be together, and to experience life together as well. Verse 2, we are one together. We are one. We are to be like-minded. That's a mind that thinks the same thing. Harmony, a unity of outlook as a part of the fellowship that we have both with God and with each other. We have the same love. That's a commitment to another person's welfare. Self-sacrificing, being of one accord in verse 2, together in soul, of one mind, is a repeat of the first word of being like-minded. In other words, we're to be of one mind, love, soul, and purpose. This is commanded by God. We are glued together. The Guinness Book of World Records has been broken. A company, an adhesive company in Germany, put some heavy-duty glue together, and it kept a 37,919-pound truck suspended over the ground for over an hour. A 37,000-pound, you might as well say 38,000, glue and adhesive. We are glued to one another. We are glued to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He's our God. He's the one who loves us so much that He enables us to experience all these things together. Verses 3 through 4. We are servants together. We are servants. And in our service, verse 3 tells us, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Strife is the very opposite of unity. Strife is contention with each other. The Bible encourages us forgiving one another, not trying to get back at one another, not being vindictive. An Indian man, those people that do live in India, they are precious people. Some of them play with snakes. Some of them do. You know the cobras? I could just see trying to pat one on top of the head. It'd be all over with. But an Indian man was outside and he was drinking some water. And this snake came up and bit him. It was a non-poisonous snake. But he got so mad at the snake that he picked the snake up and bit it. And not only bit it, but he ended up in the emergency room because something about the skin of that snake, it was non-poisonous, but he was in critical condition. Don't bite back at others when they bite you. That is hard to do. But it is a part of the Christian life. It's one of the things that makes us different from those that know not God. Those that know God experience the love and the forgiveness and the caring. It's hard to describe because we don't even understand it. How a holy, perfect God can forgive us for sinning against Him. He's created us. But He does. The Bible is clear. So God tells His children to do the same. Don't do things through strife. Vainglory. That is vanity. Trying to get praise for yourself. Glory for that's just prideful. But in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem others better than themselves. In other words, you treat someone else better than you treat yourself. These are some difficult things, but they are things that are necessary for you to live the best life possible here on this earth. And remember, your citizenship might be here physically, but your citizenship is in heaven. Life is different for you because you are a child of God. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What this verse is teaching is be concerned about the needs of others. That's a part of our unity, our fellowship together. We are one
together.
Now in verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, mindset for all of life, that will affect your feelings, that will affect your will, that will affect your entire being. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Jesus, we are told in verse 6, who being in the form of God, God's essential nature and his character, he was God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because his position was by nature and by right. It was nothing that was seized. It was perfectly the way he was and still is. He made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself and rejected any self-centered consideration to take up in his life. He became a servant. The word for servant is a slave. He listened to God's will rather than his own will. In verse 8, being found fashioned as a man, in other words, he was 100% God and he was 100% man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He listened to the desire of the Father, and he was willing to lay his life down. In fact, he told some of his enemies, I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to pick it back up. Even the death of the cross. We are imitators together. We imitate the Lord Jesus Christ the best that we can, with God's help, with his changing of our lives. He transforms us. The will of the Father is that we be like Jesus Christ. Those are heavy words, at least with weight, responsibility. But it's full of privilege. We get to copy Jesus the way he lived. We can live. The Bible tells us that he did everything that a man was supposed to do perfectly and righteously. He did all of that to give us an example that we should follow his steps. We can imitate him together. We can imitate him individually. God is so good because he enables us to do so. Now in verses 9 through 11, we are magnifiers together. We're going to go back to the verse in the Psalms that says, let us magnify his name together. Because of what he did, and he pleased the Father. God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. God has exalted Jesus to his right hand. God has exalted Jesus as Jesus is the ruler of the universe. And one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. You will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bowing of the things in heaven, all of heaven will bow of things in earth, all the people of the world, and the things under the earth. Those words under the earth indicate the underworld. So nothing is being left out here. Everyone is going to bow the knee, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We magnify Jesus because He is our all. He's our life. He is indescribable. Let's magnify Jesus. Let's lift Him up. Praise Him day by day. Praise Him through the day as you're working, as you get up in the morning, as you go to bed at night. Just praise the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. Because remember, He gave us His all. We should give Him our all. We should lift Him up. We should magnify Him, extol Him. Because Jesus is what every human being needs. Jesus. Jesus giving us heaven. Jesus giving us the best life here on earth. Jesus just doing so much for us. Let's lift Him up. Let's lift Him up together in unity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You are so good, that You have done so much for us, and You will do so much for us. Help us to concentrate in the two areas that were mentioned today. As a church, we pray that You will draw us together. Give us a heart to magnify You. As individuals, You've been so gracious to us. Your grace, thank You for it. For all that goes along with being a Christian, from being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, for being adopted, for being able to be Your children. Help us in our individual lives to make sure that we magnify You and that we seek to love You and seek to love others as well.